30. 5 years? Hey, Virginia, thank you, because Darla and I, neither one can remember at this point in our journey. So we have people that remember for us. Thank God for that. We dated 5. We almost didn't survive our dating period, but after that we made it. But Darla says that I recommend a shorter dating period. Darla recommends a longer dating period. So, I mean, you can take that however you would like to take it. God is so good, and it's good to be part of the family of God. We're going to continue on the family theme. Also, the first Saturday of April, put it on your calendar, and we'll have more information. We'll have a parenting seminar, just a one-day seminar, 2 sessions on a Saturday morning lunch, 2 sessions in the afternoon, child care provided, and just eat food. And we have Lee and Jody Metcalf coming from the network office. This will be their first seminar. And if you don't have kids and you're going to have kids, come. If you've got kids, I'm telling you, I think it will be life-changing for you and very helpful. And if your kids are grown, I imagine it will still be helpful too. Lee's a very good speaker. So we'll do that on a Saturday, first Saturday of April. And wow, I better get going. I'm going to run out of preaching time. We're going to talk about the glue that holds the family together today. In February 41st, 1941, in Auschwitz, Poland, a man named Maximilian Kolbe, a Franciscan priest, was in one of the famed concentration camps. It was a camp of great torture and great death, as most of us know in this room. After many, many months, a group in that particular camp decided they would try to escape, as was normal in a concentration camp. And a group, not him, but a group in his camp, decided that they would try to escape. Well, they tried, but they didn't get away with it. Now, the punishment for trying to escape in that particular camp, and it actually wasn't death. They killed tens of thousands there. But they would choose 10 randomly from the camp and put them in the elements and starve them to death so that they would die slowly of starvation and exposure. It's terrible. It's a horrible thought. When they come to pick the 10, they called a name out, and I'm not sure if I can pronounce it, but I'll give it a shot. Franciszek Gasavanicek. Say that 3 times fast. Gus Savonicek cries, "No, no, you can't take me. I have a wife and 3 children here in this camp." Kolbe, the Franciscan priest, would step forward and he would say, "I will go in his place." And go he did. As I said, this was in February. Kolbe would live and die a slow death and finally pass away August that same year. Gustav Vanacek would live to tell the story. A few years ago, there was a television special on this 82-year-old man, and he would tell the story of the Franciscan priest Kolbe with tears running down his cheek of how that man saved his life, his wife, and his children. He would take the television people into a special room in his house like a little den, and he had a monument made out of marble that he kept fresh flowers around on a regular basis. And on this monument, it read, "In memory of Maximilian Kolbe, he died in my place." Every year of Gus Sofonacek's life, he lived with the knowledge that because someone died for me, I'm still alive. And every year on August 14th, which was the day the Franciscan priest passed away, he would travel to Auschwitz to visit the grave in memory of a friend who died for him. He did that to his dying day. The scripture says in John 15:13, no greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for their friends. How do you define family? I think this story certainly illustrates what family should be about. That we would be continually laying our lives down for one another. Listen, use this in any context you want. Your home, your household, your church family, your church family, your church family. Is that we would always lay our lives down for the other. That we, when we use this term a lot the last few years, always have each other's back. A family is a place where there should be security to celebrate wins and be okay when you lose a few. A family should be a place where there's so much love, it's always a safe place. It should be a place where there's peace. It should be a place where there's refuge in this crazy world. I love my home. You know why I love my home? I got a great family. And you know why I got a great family? Because we love each other a lot. And you know why we love each other a lot? Because Jesus first loved us. And you know why? And now we love Jesus. But I can run home, and I will this afternoon. I will run home. Most of my family will be going their ways. But there's something about home being a refuge where there's peace and rest and love and joy. Can I get an amen? And it's a place where there should be love. You know, we talked about 2 weeks ago that the foundation is Jesus, of course, and we don't ever want to take Jesus for granted. But if the foundation in our home is Jesus, then the roof needs to be love. It's the glue. It's the glue that holds us together. It's the glue that keeps us together. It's the glue that keeps us going when times are tough. Love is the glue. Home sweet home. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And read, I always read a little less to save a little time. But if you haven't read the entire 13th chapter, do that this week. It's life changing and life challenging. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And that's where I want to end it. Say it with me. Love never fails. Say it with me again. Love never fails. Never means what? That's a guarantee. When I wrote the marriage material years ago, I built the whole 6 week, you got the whole 6 week series in 40, 45 minutes last week, but all built on if love never fails, then we need to practice love and know how to love each other, because if we're loving each other and we're growing in love, marriage never will fail. Friendships will never fail. Churches will love and flourish, and there'll be an atmosphere of relationship and care and concern. Love will never fail. Love, did I mention love never fails? It's so vital. And again today, I'm going to try to hit a few things quick. This will not be an extensive. I did a 6 week series just on that paragraph one time. But I'm going to hit it quick because in our series called Family Matters, and I'm teaching you all these things that matter, the thing that matters most is love functioning. It's patient. Love is patient. How many of you could use more patience? Be honest, only half of us? You're kidding me. Then we need to learn to grow in love, don't we? Look, love is, I know love is a decision and love is an emotion and there's levels of love, and I can do the three Greek words, and I'm not, there's levels of love, but we can grow in love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. As we abide in Christ, He abides in us, and we should be loving more. Patience is also, love is patient. Impatience isn't love. You know, we're all patient until we need to be patient. Right, you can relate, can't you? I mean, we're probably fairly patient right now. If some of you are like, hurry up, Pastor, just get on with it. We tend to get impatient with others. Kids, grandkids, aunts, uncles, moms, dads, in-laws, outlaws. I'm losing my patience. But what happens, and I could talk about this one point forever, I'm not going to. What happens is we see others' faults and others' flaws, and because we're perfect, we get impatient with them. Well, I'm not like that, and I'm not like that, and I'm not like that, and how could I love somebody that's like that because I'm not like that? Well, what are you like then? Love is patient. We need to be patient when others make mistakes. We're all going to make them. To be a finger pointer is, golly, don't get me started. It's to say somehow that you're perfect. Dear Lord Jesus, love me. I'm imperfect. I'm going to make mistakes. Love each other. You're going to make mistakes. Well, I love them when they're doing good, but I'm not loving when they're doing bad. Well, that's not love. Be patient with people. Love is patient. Look, we talked about marriage last week, and I tell you what, you know, the courtship and you're having fun and the wedding's going to be great. And we got a big wedding this next weekend. And then Josh and Francine need to go on their honeymoon. We haven't gone over that part in marriage counseling yet. We need to do that this week. And they go on a honeymoon. Look, you're only going to be gone a week. The honeymoon is not over. Somebody give me an amen. Man, you can ride that honeymoon a year. You might even get it 2 years. But it might sooner or later, the honeymoon is over. Henry's going, no, it's not. Ah, don't tell me that. John Hajak told me, said, I've been married 50 years and had 45 really good years. Wave at us, John. No, he's going like that. Diane, that's what he told me, I'm telling you. The honeymoon, oh, you make a new friend. Enjoy that initial contact. But after a while, you begin to see flaws in each other. In your marriage, you begin to see flaws in each other. In the church family, after just a little while, and the church is great and it's wonderful, and then you come, and we got lots of guests here today. This is a great church. It's unity. It's a good season for us, thank God. But we're not perfect. That's right. Doot, 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 doot. Love people. Love them anyway. We're all flawed. Love beyond the flaws and the faults and the imperfections. Love, 1 Peter 3 and 9 says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Number 2, good night. got to hurry. Love is kind. Romans 12 and 10 says this, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Whoa. Kindness is an expression of love beyond the call of duty. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Oh, that's pretty good. Because kindness goes beyond the call of duty. It's not a matter of just doing your job or just playing your role or, well, that's just me. No, it's going beyond you and your role and your duty. We all have roles in our friendships. We have roles in the church family. We have roles in the marriage covenant. We have roles that we play in the household. But go beyond your role. Be kind is active. You know, sweet is sweet. But kindness is an action word. Go beyond what you've been called to do. Take a load off somebody else. And I'm going to pick on the guys that, hey, guys, do the dishes every now and then. Do I get a big amen, ladies? Woo! Listen, guys, if you're going to want me to take your side when I'm preaching, you all are going to have to buy me a lot of lunches. I can be bribed. Go beyond the call of duty. We call it random acts of kindness. Do it everywhere you go. But be kind. Express kindness, because when you express kindness, you're expressing love. And as Christian people, when we're expressing love, we're a testimony and we're expressing the love of Jesus Christ. Kindness, real love, is doing more than others expect of you. Look to your neighbor and say, come on, let's get going. Love does not envy, boast, it's not proud or rude. Woo! Proverbs 14 and 30 says this. It's a little nugget. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Galatians 5 and 26, let us not become conceited. That would be boastful or proud, provoking and envying each other. True love realizes this is not a competition. It's not I win and you don't win. And again, I'm talking in the church. I'm talking in your marriage. I'm talking in your household. I'm talking in your inter-family relationships. Too many of you want to get your way all the time, and that's selfish and rude and arrogant. And you need to stop it, because it's not love. Well, I'm just trying to help my family. No, you're not. Love your family. Pray and figure out a way where everybody wins. Give other people in your relationships what they desire and want, not what you always desire and want. Give people that you love and care about in your relationships, let them have their way instead of having the attitude of my way or the highway. And quit playing manipulative games. Well, you know, it doesn't really have to be like this, but, oh, that's an underhanded play. It's not love. Love isn't proud. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. You know, because when you always have to have it your way, and if you don't get it way, you're upset even if you don't share it or let anybody know, it rots your bones. It's not a competition. I tell you, love always finds a way for everybody to win. That's the truth. Everybody gets wins. James talks about God gives grace to the humble. Listen, in this thing called love, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do things wrong. We're all at times going to get in the flesh. I make mistakes. Darla makes mistakes. My kids make mistakes. I make mistakes toward my kids. I make mistakes. We're all going to make mistake. It's even okay in our relationships to say, you know, I was wrong about that one. And it's really okay in our relationships. Love always will say, I'm sorry. Well, it wasn't my fault. It doesn't matter according to the scripture. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize. Forgive me. It's not okay to be rude or sharp. That's not love. I tell you, I've always said this, and I will continue to say it. 1 Corinthians 13 is the most challenging chapter in the entire Bible. And I read it often. It was something that changed Darla and I's life before we were saved, which in turn changed our marriage, which in turn changed our life. But isn't it good to know that we can still grow in all these areas? Isn't it still good to know that love never fails? And we need to be laser focused. God, give me the grace. Holy Spirit, give me the power. Let me love more. And you know what? Thank you is still okay, even in your closest friendships. How about saying thank you? It's so easy, especially in our close relationships, to quit saying thank you. It not even that we need it, but even if we don't need it, it adds something when we say it to each other. I still try to thank Darla on a regular basis for just everyday things she's been doing for me for 35 years. It's okay that we want to continue to appreciate each other. Well, I know that you appreciate me. I just haven't told you in 5 years, but we know. How about telling each other? Come on, I'm talking. It's real stuff. I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm thankful for you. In our church, in our marriage, in our home, with our children, with our friends. You know, love always gives. It's giving of ourselves. It's considering the other first. You know, one can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. That's not my quote. It's somebody's quote. I don't know whose it is, but I got it somewhere. Number four, and I just got to keep moving. This is a real passion of mine. And I'm flawed like everybody else. And there's certainly things that God is still working on me. And I got room to grow in this area. I do. And I'm just trying to open my heart a little bit to you. But this one hasn't ever been one of those things I struggled with. Now, I'll probably go out and be impatient with you going out the front door because I'm hungry. No. Even before I was saved, for some reason, I just always loved people. When they mistreated me, I love them anyway. Drive some of the people around me crazy. How can you love them? It's really not that hard. So for me, after 30 some odd years of ministry, it's always been baffling to me to see people struggle in this area. Although I know we do. If love never fails, and we're talking about our family series, then I need to get dialed in on it. It's the bullseye of the whole target. And if I'm losing my patience with my spouse or my kids or my friends or somebody, a brother or sister in Christ in the church, maybe it's me. Because love is not selfish. Love is not about me, it's about you. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. It may be that person, that unruly person, that person at work that drives you bananas, that you have been put in their life to love them unconditionally so that their soul will be saved. We used to have a phrase here we used a lot, and it's still one of my favorite scriptures. Love God and love people. Y'all remember how we used that phrase for a long... It's still the main thing Jesus told the Pharisees. There's a story of a fellow named George who worked in a hospital all of his life. And he got up in years and he was going to die. So he's in the very hospital he spent 30, 35 years working in. And I mean, he had guest after guest and visitor. The top administrator, the CEO of the hospital came in to visit him. The nurses came in to visit him. The janitors came in to visit him. Just people from all walks of life came to visit George in the hospital. His son was there to witness a lot of the visitations, and he noticed a couple. One is the volume of visitors and the diversity of the visitors and how much George seemed to love them equally. The CEO administrator was like an old friend. The janitor was like a family member. One day the janitor had come to visit and he left, and his son said, "Dad, do you realize that you treat the top brass of this hospital and the janitor just the same?" George chuckled. I mean, this is a guy on his deathbed with a few days to go. He said this. He said, "Let me ask you something, son. If the CEO and top administrator left for 2 weeks, or the janitor left for 2 weeks, which one do you think we would miss the most?" Then he said, "Come here." He got in his pocket. He pulled out a small pocket cross and a marble. He said, "I've tried to live my whole life this way, and these are a daily reminder to me." And he held up the cross. He said, "This reminds me every day that Jesus loves me." And can I tell some of you this morning, if you don't know it, Jesus loves you too. He said, "And on this marble was written a golden rule in small print. And it said, 'Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.'" He said, "It reminds me every day of how much God loves me. And because Jesus loves me, I need to love others equally." Can I give you a little challenge today as we move on this morning? Sometimes we have a tendency to say hello to people that we think are up here, and we walk by people that we tend to think are dead. Everybody's equal in the sight of the Lord. I really try hard, and I'm not perfected this yet. And y'all know at certain times I travel a lot with men's ministries and Light for the Lost. And last week we raised $48,000 for Light for the Lost, by the way, for missions. Amen. And the smallest church group in Sierra Vista gave the most. That's amazing how that happens. But if I see a maid or a janitor, I try to slow down and say hello, speak to them, and let them know how much I appreciate them. And I tell you, almost every time it shocks the socks off of them. They need to be loved like everybody else. Another thing, and I've challenged us, I'll keep challenging us in this church. If there's two children between me and you, and I want to talk to you, I want to look you in the eye, even if it's 20 seconds on a Sunday, you know, it's pretty fast to let you know I love you and appreciate you. But if there's two kids between me and you, let's don't walk by the children. must love the children. Let's affirm them, acknowledge that they're there. If three of you are talking in a circle and there's two out here, scoot your feet around a little bit and bring somebody into your circle. I'm not kidding. It's so easy. It's an expression of love and inclusion. We can all do that. Love never fails. Had somebody tell me again this week, the reason he's here today is because he felt loved and accepted and honored. Let's keep doing it. Let's do it like George did it. Love is not easily angered, and I'm just hitting it so quick. Keeps no record of wrongs. Keeps no record of wrongs. Sometimes y'all get in an argument and there's a little bit of conflict, and boy, you pull out the list. Or maybe I could put it another way. There's a little conflict in your friendship, or, well, you know, they. I remember that. Anyway, we're not really that close. It's not love. Just to be funny, but to be serious, but we can be funny about being serious. Some of you are like archaeologists. You just keep digging up the past. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be an archaeologist. That happens in the marriage context quite often. Look, you need to move on. That was 10 years ago. Sometimes that's just 10 days ago. If you've dealt with it and the water's under the bridge, for crying out loud, move on. I have people come to me all the time. And I think this is where the scripture says love covers a multitude of sins. You know, because you're going to get mistreated, aren't you? In this world, you're going to get mistreated, aren't you? And it's going to be a lot of times, or many times, from those that you love. And sometimes they know they mistreat you, and at other times it's an accident, they're not even aware of it. It's true. It's true. When you're loving, and Jesus Christ is causing love. Look, I'm not. People come to me 2 and 3 years later with something that happened between us. And sometimes I'm almost embarrassed. I don't even remember what it was. We said, you... No, it's when they mistreated me. It happens all the time in this position. I'll see somebody I haven't seen in 10 years and went to another church, say, Pastor Dale, and, you know, I'm so sorry that happened, and I was in the wrong, and I knew it, and I'm sorry. I said, you know what, bro? You apologized to me back then, and in my mind, I can't even remember what happened. Now, don't let them know that, because that would not validate them. But when water goes under the bridge, let it go. When you love people, and let's be proactive. When the love of Jesus Christ is pumping through your veins and through your mind and through your mouth, and love is pumping in your actions, you will forget a lot of negative stuff, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit that erases a lot of that garbage, because the love you have for people is much greater than the ought you had against them. It goes away. And Jesus said if they hit you on one cheek, to turn the other cheek anyway. If they beat you and make you go a mile, walk a mile another way. If they steal your jacket, give them another jacket. That's love. And love never fails. And we need the help of Almighty God to love like Jesus. We need Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to love like Jesus loves. And when we love like Jesus loves, we won't have room to keep people in this building. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not going to compromise truth or the Word of God, and sin is still sin. But maybe the greatest sin of all is not some of the sins that we commit, but some of the sins we omit, and we omit love on a regular basis and wonder why our relationships are on bumpy ground. Well, I went to preach it. Love never fails. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Can you say amen to forgiveness? Isn't it a wonderful thing that if I mistreat my wife or make a mistake, I can go to Darla and say, honey, I'm sorry, and she will forgive me. And not only will it be raced clean, but our relationship will grow. If we hang out long enough, I'm going to offend every one of you some way or another, even if it's by accident. Forgive me. Right? Love is not easily angered. It keeps, and when we get angry, make it up, get it right, restore your relationships, quit being so proud you can't say I'm sorry. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. What would we do without forgiveness? We wouldn't have very good relationships in any area of our life. We wouldn't have it. Love isn't irritable, touchy, easily provoked. Now I know, and I am. Monday morning, the first few hours are the hardest hours of my day, of my week. No, sometimes Monday morning can be a tough year. It's my day off, and I'm tired, and I actually don't even have any Mondays off for 5 weeks. That's another story. And I try, and I'm not always successful. I try to lead myself well with the grace of God because I know I'm going to be a little touchy and a little impatient with anybody that's around me on Monday mornings. Well, guess who's around me? Ask your neighbor or your spouse, am I irritable sometimes? It's not love. Sometimes there'll be times I'm just trying to open my life up to you a little bit. The good, bad, and the ugly is I'll even tell, honey, I know I'm a little on edge. I'm a little tired. That's not an excuse, but I tell her sometimes. I'll say, honey, it's not you. Don't tell them how many times I've had to say that. I was going to say, how many times I've done that? No. Of course, she knows already. Love doesn't hold grudges. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Now you could interpret that a lot of ways, but I'm going to interpret this way. How do you feel when something bad happens to somebody? How do you feel when something good happens to somebody in your life? Secretly, are you kind of happy they got what they was coming to them? I see you've been there. You have too. I know you have. Then you say, Lord, I don't want to be like that, but I really feel that way. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Isn't it? Love rejoices when others succeed. Or sometimes we feel bad because somebody succeeds. Well, they're just the child of the golden spoon. You know what? When we are experiencing losses in the family of God, let's feel the same empathy and empathize. And let's not feel good when bad things go south with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? When a friend or a workmate or somebody in the body of Christ or somebody in your family gets a win, out-celebrate them. Celebrate with them. That's love. Being happy when good things happen to people that you're in relationship with. Hallelujah. Just as a pastor, my greatest joy is seeing y'all get the wins. Because I feel like when you win, I win. Maybe that's a little selfish. But when you're winning at home, you're winning in your marriages, you're winning under your household, you're winning financially, you're getting through the tough times and winning, you're shouting on the rooftop through the good times. When you're winning, I'm a happy pastor. And when you're willing, celebrate and celebrate with somebody. Good night. Pastor Lawrence had a 50th birthday party yesterday. They were crawling off the walls. There were so many people there. Celebrating his old age. Celebrate. Don't rejoice in evil. Rejoice when good things happen to people. Come on, give me an amen. Love always protects, trusts, hopes. Love always perseveres. Love is not looking for failure or failure in others. Love is seeing the best in others. Give me an amen again. Hallelujah. Because love never fails. It's the glue in every relationship. Ephesians 3:16 and 18 says this. Daggone it. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in Him. Water baptism, people, if you'll make your way to the front row or if you need to get changed, go ahead and do that. You can come down the side. Love never fails. Love never fails. Joan Crawford, this is just a worldly person, but she said something about love. She said, love is a fire, but whether it warms your heart or burns your house down, you can never tell. Love can motivate, love can give pleasure. But love, the passion of love, sometimes can hurt or destroy it. Close. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell sentenced a soldier to die. He would be hung at the evening curfew bell. In those days, they rung the bell in the morning, they rung the bell at noon, they rung the bell in the evening, and other special occasions. At the ringing of the curfew bell, this soldier would be killed. However, the bell did not sound when curfew time came. What had happened, this soldier had a fiance. And the fiance climbed the bell tower and got up inside the bell and grabbed a hole. They called it a clapper. That's the big ball. And when they began to do the rope, down below, she clung to the clapper. Thus the bell would not ring. Cromwell got word. She was summoned to Cromwell for her actions. And as she came before the king, in tears, with broken hands and arms, bruised and bleeding, Cromwell's heart was touched. He said, your lover shall live tonight because of your sacrifice. curfew shall not ring tonight. That's what Jesus did for us, church. Let's finish with Jesus this morning. We all deserve to die in our sin. We all deserve hell because we've all sinned. We've all committed the crime of sin, haven't we? And the wages of our sin is death. But Jesus clung to the cross, beaten and broken, carrying the weight and the penalty of our sin so that we could have eternal life. You say, well, they nailed him to a cross. Was it the nails that held him? The scripture said he could have called ten thousands of ten thousands of ten thousands, myriads of angels to rescue him. No. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He died in your place. He clung to that old rugged cross so that we could have eternal life. 1 John 4:9 said, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Can you say thank you, Jesus? So I say to you and exhort you this morning, say love, be love, do love, write love, keep love, listen for love, live love, give love. Love never fails. Love never fails. Let's pray.